Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message.
Hey, Relevant. I'm super bummed I'm not with you today, but I am super excited today as we start this new series called Words of Wisdom. If you read through the New Testament, you're going to see that the elders are the spiritual overseers of the church. And really, the healthier the elders are, the better they spiritually oversee, the more healthy the church is. Well, at Relevant, we have some amazing elders. Our elder team is awesome. And I believe one of the reasons that we've seen God do the transformational work both in us and through us is because of their leadership and how they spiritually oversee our church and how they pray for our church. And I realize that many of you may not even know who these people are because most of them are not up here on stage. Everything they do is behind the scenes. They don't want recognition, but they do a ton of work for our church, and it's all volunteer. They don't work for Relevant. This is 100% volunteer, and they pray so much for you. They invest so much in our church. They make some big, hard decisions for our church, and I'm so, so grateful for them. Well, a few months ago, I just really felt this, like God was impressing on my heart that I was supposed to get all of our elders up here this year to preach, which was just such a weird feeling. Well, I can only attribute it to God because they're not preachers. Actually, the only one on our preaching team is Andy Williams, who you're going to hear from today. But I just really felt strongly that we were supposed to do this and that our church needed this. So I asked all of them if they'd be willing to. They said yes, which I'm so grateful they did. And I said, guys, here's the one thing I would ask of you is I would just ask that you identify a biblical principle, a biblical truth, a biblical topic that you have a ton of passion about, that you have a huge conviction about, that you believe would be beneficial and helpful and transformational for our church. So for the next few weeks in this Words of Wisdom series, you're going to have an opportunity to hear from all of our elders, some words of wisdom from all of our elders. And I am so excited for you to meet them, for you to know who they are, and for God to speak through them so that hopefully we become a healthy, more transformational, more God-glorifying church. But the deal is we actually as elders make some big decisions together, and I know some of you are going, what kind of decisions you make and how are those decisions made? And so I want to show you just a little clip of a type of decision we make and how we go about making those decisions. So go ahead and take a look.
Hey, guys, I really need your decision on this as quick as possible.
You got it, Ronnie. Let's get serious about this.
So you guys got a decision for me or what?
I'm going to have the number one Chick-fil-A sandwich with sweet tea and fries.
Oh, ditto.
Wow, that is incredible, isn't it? I bet you didn't know you had a team of elders that was doing such vital work for this church. This is stuff that we're pouring over. It's so important. I mean, your Chick-fil-A order, you cannot mess that up. That's sort of a weird title we have, isn't it? You know, I'm an elder. Does that mean that you're just like the oldest people around here? In my case, yeah, that's sort of true. But there's more to it than that. An elder was a leadership position in first century church right after Jesus was on earth. And there's a lot written in the New Testament about the character of elders and about the qualification of elders. So we decided to adopt that structure for one of our leadership teams here at Relevant. And we pray for much more important things than our Chick-fil-A order. We pray for our church regularly. We pray for our community. We pray for our paid staff. We pray for you. We're praying for our volunteer staff. We've split up the 600 or so volunteer staff, and we're all praying through those people every week, and we've been reaching out to you and asking you, is there anything we can be praying for you? So thanks for those of you who've responded to letting us know how we can pray for God to move in your life. It's been really awesome to connect with you like that. Actually, we serve as elder couples, and we're husband and wife teams, and here's the much better half of our elder couple. This is my wife, Lori. You can see that I married way, 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 way up. I still don't know. After 35 years, I'm like, why did she do that? But I'm so glad she did. We have three grown sons, two daughters-in-law, one grandbaby who's the joy of our life, but her parents took her to Europe, and they live there, so we don't get to see her nearly enough. My son's in the military. And we have one father-in-law that lives with us, my 90-year-old father-in-law. We have two dogs, a cat, a rabbit. These are all things that we really have. And a nest with two baby birds right now. So it's a literal and figurative zoo at our house. We've been at Relevant here since the beginning, 15 years ago. We've served in a lot of different places, along with our elder duties, such as Relevant Kids, the communication team, global impact team, T-Life groups, classes, and we've just had a blast being here since the beginning. And I'm really excited for you to get to know some of the other elders over the next 6 weeks as we bring these words of wisdom, hopefully through these messages. And you're going to hear some things like doing the right thing, building a what-if marriage, living a transformed life, dying to live, discovering your true identity, some really awesome topics that the guys have prayed through and that God has put on their heart to share with you. So I'm really excited for you to get to experience that over the next few weeks. So my topic for today is what Jesus talked about and taught about more than anything else that he talked about. What do you think it is? What do you think Jesus talked about more than anything? Turn to your neighbor just really quick and tell him. Take a guess. Dan, what do you think it was? All right, let's hear a few. Shout out a few. Let's see what we got. Love one another. Great example. Yep, great guess. Wrong. Money. Heard somebody say money. Oh, that's a good one. Very good. Wrong. Okay, what else? Pray. Oh, nope, that's not it either. Good job. What else?
Forgiveness.
No. I'm giving away no prizes today. I get. What?
Humble yourself.
Good one. Wrong. Thank you for humbling yourself by getting that wrong. No, just kidding. Yeah, so the thing that Jesus talked about and taught about more than anything, but it may be one of our least understood and least discussed topics, is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Jesus talked about it all the time, told story after story to help explain what the kingdom is like, how it works. He spent lots of time showing and telling his followers that there's a new kingdom and a new king on the scene, and you're not going to believe it. It's like nothing you've ever experienced before. Just watch. It's going to be incredible. And discussing this topic today, it could not be more relevant than what's happening in our world as of just the last 24 hours. So we're going to cover a lot of ground, so everybody get your brain engaged, and let's jump in. So according to the writers of Scripture who told us about his life on earth, Jesus talked about the kingdom of God way more than anybody else referenced in Scripture. There's probably 105, 110, something like that, verses about the kingdom of God. About 95% of it was Jesus trying to explain the kingdom of God. He's like, I've been there. I am it. I'm going to show you. I'm going to tell you. And he said things like, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God has come near you. The kingdom of God is all around you. The kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is within you. Some of the things that Jesus wanted them to know. The kingdom is here. And it's not some future physical kingdom that only the rich and famous can access someday. It's right here in your midst today. I'm bringing it, Jesus said. I'm going to show it to you. He wanted his followers then and his followers now to know that the kingdom of God is here today. And here's how it works. And here's how you get in on it. And here's how you live it out. And here's how you bring this kingdom into your everyday world. Today, not just someday in the future. That means the kingdom isn't something we have to wait for. It's something we can experience now. The reign of God, His sovereignty, His rule, His love and goodness and justice and mercy can be part of our lives today. There will be a future physical kingdom of God that He's going to establish when this current world ends. But until then, we are called to live as citizens of His kingdom now. Anywhere that God is alive and active and ruling and reigning, from our own hearts and minds to pockets all over the world where God moves with His love and power, that's where the kingdom of God is. It's here. Jesus was clear, it's not a physical kingdom with geographical boundaries that you can plot on a map and tell people where the center of power is. Jesus said this about the kingdom. The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You can't physically see it. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. It's here, now. And it's a spiritual kingdom with a heavenly king. A heavenly king who came to earth to show and tell about the kingdom of God and prove just what kind of king he is. And he continued to show what kind of king he is as he restored and patched up broken people, as he healed helplessly sick people, as he welcomed disenfranchised people, as he spent time with the physically and spiritually poor and the needy and the outcasts, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, other sinners that were rejected by religious leaders. This is a different kind of king. Jesus said and showed in a myriad of ways over and over and over again, I'm here to raise your sights to see a new kind of kingdom and a new kind of king. Jesus gave regular glimpses, snapshots into this new kingdom and this new king, and he encouraged his followers then, and he encourages us today to lift our eyes, raise our sights, and see that something much bigger than our brief earthly pursuits is going on. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is all around you. The king is moving with goodness and love and mercy and justice and grace and power. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God above all else. All the stuff you got going on, seek the kingdom of God above all of that. The kingdom is here. It's all around you. And you can get in on it by bowing your knee to the king. This king was going to welcome you like where you've been rejected before. He's going to serve you, he showed. He's going to wash your feet. He's going to die for you. And he's going to triumphantly come back to life again. He did. To defeat the feeble hold that sin and death have on you when King Jesus is in power. This is our king. We sang about it so incredibly earlier. I was like, can we just stop right here after the songs and just say, kingdom of God, there it is. You guys got it. Go. So incredible. Quick side note here. And I promise y'all, I had this planned weeks before the events of the last 24 hours. I believe Jesus would have a message for us regarding the kingdom of God and U.S. and world politics. You're like, uh-oh, here we go. He's going there. You shouldn't do that. Don't ever talk politics and religion, but you know, let's do it. Jesus lived in a very politically charged time and place, but he was strangely silent about the kings and kingdoms of his day. I mean, in his lifetime, there was a king on the throne who ordered every male child under 2 years old be killed, slaughtered every male child under 2 years old. That's the time that Jesus came up in on earth. There's tons of political tension in his day. But I think it's very interesting to note that Jesus only mentioned the king's name one time. And he didn't even actually use his name, just his title. And that was to tell everybody to pay taxes to Caesar. Give God what's God's, give Caesar what's Caesar, as he's showing them a coin. I wish he would have said, hey, followers of mine, you don't know that king anything. You can pay whatever you want in taxes and pocket the rest. Tell him I said so. He didn't do that. I wish he would have, so we could say, hey, I don't have to pay all those taxes. But no, that's not what he said. Wouldn't that have been awesome? But Jesus never talked about political leaders and earthly kings, except to say that most of them don't understand how real leadership works. We'll talk about that in a minute. Jesus kept trying to raise their sights, and he would try to lift our eyes to the reality that there is something much bigger at play here than our insignificant political skirmishes we have going on, that are wrangling over position and power. Writers of Scripture tell us throughout history that God raises up whole empires and takes them down for breakfast. This is nothing for God. He raises up empires and takes them down. And their temporary rule is nothing compared to the kingdom of God and its forever impact. So I believe Jesus' message to us in this politically charged day would be, don't attach yourself to earthly kings, political leaders, and put your hope there for transforming the world. That's not where your hope is. And I'm not just saying that about our current leader in the U.S. I would say this about whoever was in power. Don't attach yourself to a king, to a leader. This is not a no kings message in our day of no kings tension. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, here's the message. You already have a king. You have one. His name's Jesus, King Jesus. And he wants you to give your heart and your hope to him. Don't attach yourself to an earthly king. Put your hope and your focus there through all the conversation we have and the social media posting and even fighting over the validity of these earthly leaders. Followers of Christ, you have a king, and his name is Jesus. Bow down there. Attach yourself to him, not any earthly king or political leader. And please stop bringing division within the body of Christ, his church, with other followers of Christ over your views about these leaders and their very temporary kingdoms. Jesus said, people are going to know you're citizens of the kingdom of God. They're going to know you're a child of the king by the unity you have with the other children of the king. That's how they know. Not because of where we stand on political issues, what leader we attach ourselves to. So focus your attention on our king. Give your heart and your hope to him. Lift your eyes. Raise your sights. There's something so much bigger going on, even than the events of just the last 24 hours, which are big. There's something so much bigger going on. Jesus would say, raise your eyes to see it. Okay, back to our regularly scheduled programming about the kingdom of God. That was a little aside there. There's a new kingdom and a new kind of king on the scene now and forever. And this kingdom is going to be different than anything you've ever experienced. It's going to work differently than any kingdom you've ever seen. That was Jesus' other big message about the kingdom of God, that things work much differently in this kingdom than the earthly temporary kingdoms that you know. Things like, how does status position me in the kingdom? Well, we know that in our earthly kingdoms, people who are rich and famous and powerful get preferred status. Like when you're watching a big sporting event and you see Celebrity Row, you know, all the stars like have the best seats. Like, how'd they get those seats? Well, they've got some status. Or the red carpet treatment for the glamorous and the glitzy. You're like, oh man, that, you know, they're something. They have all the standing and the status here today. But the kingdom of God doesn't work like that. In fact, Jesus said, God blesses those who are poor in spirit. They're poor spiritually, because they realize their need for me. The kingdom of God is theirs. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. God's kingdom belongs to those who know they need God spiritually because they realize they have nothing to bring to the table. They have nothing to make this relationship work. This is all about God saying, I want you. That's how this relationship works. I'm poor in spirit. I need God. Jesus showed us how this works by welcoming with open arms those who knew how badly they needed him. You know, while the religious leaders were saying, hey, why doesn't Jesus hang out with us? Jesus said, well, it's because you don't realize you need me. They do. So there I am. Jesus doubled down on how status works in God's kingdom when he said, it's very difficult, not impossible, but very difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. He said, I'll tell you again, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. You're like, oh, good one, Jesus, a camel through the eye of a needle. Yeah, that's how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. We should sit up and take notice here because most of us fit in the rich category compared to the rest of the world. You know, you probably would think, oh, I'm not really rich, but you think about the comparison to the rest of the world. Yeah, we all pretty much are because we have all we need and more. So it's really hard for people like that to enter the kingdom of God because we're usually going after everything but the kingdom of God. And we have a hard time realizing our need for God. Like Jesus said, the ones who are poor in spirit, the ones who know they need me, those are the ones that are going to find me. We think we have life mastered and have it by the tail because of our wealth and our status, and we don't acknowledge our need for God. And take note of this reversal of fortunes that Jesus laid out about the future kingdom of God. He said, but many who are the greatest now, they're getting the front seats at the sporting event, they're on the red carpet. Many who are the greatest now will be the least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. That's how the kingdom works. Totally upside down. I always think about people that nobody knows that have done these amazing things for God and his kingdom. People like our friend Tosini, who started and runs Safe Haven Orphanage in Thailand. She's not a world-renowned person. She's not famous. She wouldn't get tickets on the front row of the NBA Finals tonight. She's not famous except around here. She's sort of a rock star because we know how amazing she is. But very few people in the world know who she is or what she's done to advance the kingdom of God. But when I think about the future physical kingdom of God and us sort of waiting in line to get in, I picture her, according to what Jesus said, at the front of the line. And people are going to go, who's that lady at the front of the line? I never saw her on TV. I don't know her. And I'll be back at the line somewhere going, Tosini, can I come up there with you? I know her. Well, another big difference Jesus taught about how the kingdom of God works. In the kingdom of God, anything of lasting significance is not about our efforts. Like a lot of the stories Jesus told about the kingdom, he said, the kingdom is like a farmer who scatters seed. And here's how it works. Night and day, whether he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he doesn't understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. Now, farmers might not like the way that we've sort of simplified their work, but Jesus' point here is that anything that's significant and transformational and spiritual in nature, we don't control it. We can't make anything happen there. That's God territory. And he added that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. He said it's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches and birds can make nests in its shade. Jesus said in another message that it takes only a mustard seed. He used it again. Only a mustard seed of faith for God to work with. Place a mustard seed of faith in God and he does the work if it's anything significant. It's not up to our efforts or the bigness of our faith. It's not about your efforts in the kingdom. It's about God moving and changing and bringing the transformation that only he can bring. That's God territory. One more example of how the kingdom of God works differently than any kingdom we've ever experienced, and that's what does success look like in the kingdom? How about success? Jesus caught his closest friends and followers arguing one day about who would be the greatest in the future forever kingdom. And Jesus called them around and said, okay, guys, I know what you were arguing about. You guys are idiots. He didn't say that part, but he said, here's the deal. Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. If you want to be first, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, Jesus very clearly said, the way to the top is from the bottom up, serving anyone and everyone. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you serve. And Jesus backed it up by adding, even I've come to be the servant of everyone and will lay down my life for everyone. That's how it works in the kingdom. This is a very different spin from our world where you're successful when you gain power and authority and you exercise that power and authority over others. Not so with you who are kingdom citizens, Jesus said. Your way to the top is from the bottom up, becoming the servant of all. That's how you achieve greatness in God's kingdom. Quick side note here, another quick side note. This is for parents. This is a valuable lesson to teach and model for your kids. You know, high achievement is fine. You know, go for it, kids. Be excellent at what you love. Try to achieve high. It's fine. Success, it's okay. But although how you achieve it sort of keeps shifting, you don't really know what's it look like to be a success. But Jesus would say, raise your sights, lift your eyes. There's something much bigger in play here about how to be great in the kingdom of God by learning how to serve anyone, anywhere, anytime. Help your kids learn how to go after true greatness. Yeah, it's great. You want to achieve some things here? Awesome. Let's work on being truly great in the kingdom of God. Model it for them. Get them thinking about how can they serve their team? How can they serve their classmates? Let them see you serve. Show them how to become the greatest in the kingdom. Show them. Lori and I were far from perfect parents, but I think one thing we did right was we taught our kids from a very early age that we are on this earth to serve anybody, anywhere, anytime. So we took them to serve at a lot of places. A lot of places that wouldn't win any awards from Better Homes and Gardens, I'm pretty sure. We took them into low-income housing projects to serve. We lost one of them a couple times in there. We found him eventually. We didn't leave him there. He's with us. We took them with us to serve our Korean families in North O. It was awesome. We just had a great time. But we were going to dinner one night with one of our Korean families and invited us over. And we told the boys on the way, we're like, boys, whatever they fix, don't turn your nose up at it. Don't say anything about it. Just have a bite of it. Just one bite. Don't say anything. If it's gross, don't say, ooh, this is gross. Just take a bite. So like we go, you got it, boys, what are you going to do? We're going to take a bite. We're not going to say anything. They're like, great, got it. So we walked into the apartment with our Korean friends, and they're preparing dinner, and they're preparing dinner. The women are chopping up chicken on the floor. Chopping up chicken, not a chicken with like feathers and stuff, but like a, you know, not a live chicken. That would have been, I might have not stayed then either, but they were chopping up chicken on the floor. And the boy, I looked at my boys and their eyes are just wide like, oh my gosh. And I just gave them a little shake of my head like, you guys know the deal. Don't say anything. And they did. They took a bite. They did great. But they learned this kingdom value as kids, that the greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant of all. And I'm so proud that stuck with them into adulthood. They all have big servant hearts. And they aren't afraid or think they're too good to serve anybody anywhere. Another big message about Jesus, about how the kingdom is different. So there you have it. Maybe the fastest primer you'll ever get on the kingdom of God. I would encourage you to jump into scripture on your own. Just search in your Bible app, Kingdom of God, and just start reading verses, and there's so much there. But what do you do with all this knowledge we've gained here in just the last few minutes? What do you do with all this? How do you put this to work and make it practical in your everyday world? Well, there's three big ways I want to challenge you and encourage you to pursue this kingdom. First is everyone has an open invitation. Get in the kingdom. Jesus was clear, and he said it lots of ways, but most famously in one of the best-known verses in Scripture when he said, "For God loved the world so much, that he gave his one and only son, me. He's talking about himself. That whoever believes in him, puts their trust in him, puts their faith in him by asking him to be the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life, to be their savior, the leader, their king, will not perish, will never die spiritually. They'll live forever in this kingdom. It's a today and forever kingdom that's open to anyone who makes that declaration of faith and trust in King Jesus. I bow to you as my leader, my Lord. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, I think you should seriously consider it today because of the king that's waiting for you with open arms, a king of love and power and grace and mercy and kindness and goodness. And we'll give you the opportunity to pledge your allegiance to that king, put your faith in him in just a few minutes. So if you feel a stirring, a prompting like Mattia talked about in the video, that you can't even believe is happening right now. You're like, what is this thing? Well, there's a very good chance that God is saying, I want you. I want you to become a child of the king. I want you to become a citizen of the kingdom. And you can do that right here today. For those of you who put your faith in Jesus, two applications of all this kingdom talk for you. Here's the first one. Lift your eyes, raise your sights to look for where the kingdom is moving and get in on it. Look for where it's moving and get there. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a bunch of the New Testament within about 30 years of Jesus' life, summed up the kingdom of God like this. He said, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. You know, Paul was talking to some Christ followers who were arguing about food and drink restrictions in their religious system. So Paul said, don't get involved in these low-level arguments and skirmishes about stuff like that. The kingdom of God is about living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Life in the kingdom is all about living a life of goodness and peace and joy. It's not about all this other stuff that we get embroiled in sometimes. It's a great summary of kingdom life. Then Paul added another juicy nugget about the kingdom to another faith community in the city of Corinth. He had been hearing about a lot of arrogant people, he said, in the church who just give a lot of flowery speeches. Hopefully not this one, like this one. Flowery, empty speeches. And they don't really see God moving and working among them. They just talk a lot. And Paul concluded for this group, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. We got to read that again. That's so good. For the kingdom is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. Paul is saying to followers then and to us followers now, where God's power is at work, that's where you find the kingdom. That's where the kingdom is. Know God's power, know God's kingdom. Making this practical, we need to lift our eyes to see where the power of God is at work to transform people and communities into God's kingdom of goodness and peace and joy. And we need to get there. We need to jump in. We need to invest your time and energy and talents and treasure there. Get in on this earth-shaking, people-changing power of God at work. It's happening. It's happening all around the world. It's happening here. That's why me and Lori and the other elders that you'll hear from are here at Relevant. For 15 years now, we've been part of seeing God's kingdom advance, seeing God's power move, seeing his transformation come into people's lives, and we want to get in on it. We want to be part of it. You see it in our Next Gen area, like when we had over 400 kids praising God and singing their hearts out and dancing together during Summer Blast. A woman in our T-Life group who's a fairly new Christ follower saw her 6-year-old daughter experience that Summer Blast environment for the first time, and her comment was, I've never seen so much joy in one place. We're like, yeah, that's the kingdom of God. It's moving. That's what it looks like. We see it in our local community impact through things like Elkhorn Days Family Festival and in our global impact service to the Korean here in Omaha and across the globe. We've got a group of high schoolers there right now that are bringing the love and joy and peace and goodness of the kingdom to a war-ravaged group of people. That's why we're here. The goodness, love, and joy of God abounds, and the power of God moves regularly in this motley crew that we call Relevant Community Church. We want to be part of it. So if you're not right in the big middle of it, if you're not investing your time and talents and treasure to serve where the kingdom of God is flourishing, look for it and get in on it. Followers of Jesus, get in on it. Don't sit on the sidelines and go, oh, I wonder where the kingdom of God is. Find it. Get in on it. And lastly, I want to challenge you to figure out what it looks like to bring the kingdom of God to your everyday life every day. Bring the goodness, the love, the joy, the peace, the justice, the mercy, the grace of the kingdom of God and the power of God to your circles of influence every day. So how do you do that? Well, you start by praying every day, just like Jesus taught us to pray. Pray every day, God, your kingdom come. Your will be done. That's what Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in me, in my family, in my home, my job, the communities I'm in, the places you've put me to have unique influence that nobody else can have. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Move, act, do what only you can do in my places of influence and empower me to bring your love and joy and peace and grace and justice and mercy like nobody else can in those places. Can you imagine how your life would look if you asked God every day, God, pour the goodness and love and peace and power of your kingdom into my heart and mind and into my life? Can you imagine what your life would be like if you asked God to do that and God did it? Because I believe he will. Can you imagine how your family, your neighborhood, your workplace, your team, your tea life group, your group of show choir parents, wherever God's put you to have influence, can you imagine what it would look like if the goodness and love and joy and peace and mercy and power of God were overflowing out of you to all those God puts around you every day? You're seeing God pour that into your life in a way that, man, it's just flowing out for everybody that's around. You would see God's kingdom come in those places with those people. Lift your eyes. Raise your sights. The kingdom of God is here. It's all around you. There's something so much bigger going on in the world than our earthly pursuits that we're so into. And it's seeing the kingdom of God at work, getting in on it, and bringing it to your everyday world every day. Let's pray together. God, this is an amazing thing. We can't possibly sum up the kingdom of God in 30 minutes. But God, it's an incredible truth and reality that the kingdom of God, your kingdom is here. Your kingdom is now. Your kingdom is active. Your kingdom is alive. It's not something that we go, oh, someday we'll get to experience that. No, it's here, just like Jesus said. God, thank you that you have a kingdom that's alive and powerful and moving, and we get to get in on it. It's unreal. God, I pray for the people in this room and online today that would say, yeah, I've never put my faith in Jesus. I'm not part of the kingdom, but man, if that's what the kingdom of God is like, sign me up. I want in. God, give them the courage right now to just say these simple words to you that, Jesus, I put my faith in you to be the forgiver of my sins because I need one, and the leader of my life, my king, because I want one. I want a king like that. God, move in people's hearts that are feeling that stirring to have the courage to do that right now. God, for the followers of Jesus here in the room, God, I pray that you would challenge us, you would encourage us, you would empower us to see where your kingdom is at work, see where your power is moving, and get in on it, to jump in, invest, give it everything we've got, to be part of something so much bigger than what we pursue most days, every day. And God, empower us, fill us full of your kingdom to bring it to the places that you've put us. And God, we say your kingdom come in those places. God, we pray that for our world at large right now. God, we just ask you for your kingdom to come, your will to be done in things that are so much out of our control. But God, I really believe you are not worried today. You're not caught off guard today. You're not sort of wringing your hands going, oh gosh, what are we going to do now based on what's happened in the world the last 24 hours? God, you are the King. And we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, all over the earth, just like it is in heaven. We love you. Thank you for loving us enough to let us be children of the King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.